Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
Listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. Good afternoon. It's hot today. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, by the way, and we're here at Roberta's in Brooklyn, and it's very hot this whole week and last week. And this weekend especially was very hot. And if you're lucky enough and you're hanging around for the weekend, I know it's sort of a holiday-ish week because 4th of July is smack dab in the middle, but I think a lot of people got to run away. If you didn't, then you were well served if you picked up a popsicle made by one of my guests here. Natalie Jordan is one of the three co-founders of People's Pops. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot for having me, Kathy.
So you guys founded in 2008 People's Pops.
That's
the
right.
Three of you guys. And it was the first year that Brooklyn Flea was started on Vanderbilt Ave, or like in Fort Greene. And so they're one of the original, food stands at this pop-up sort of location every weekend. But since then, they have opened a brick-and-mortar shop in Park Slope. They have four locations that are all summer long, including, where's that?
You got one in Chelsea Market,
yeah.
One on the High Line right above Chelsea Market, and a little cabana in the East Village on 1st Avenue and 7th Street.
And so those are open pretty much every day?
Those are open every day from May to October.
So you can get your popsicles a lot of places in New York, not just Brooklyn now. And also, they just recently came out with a cookbook called People's Pops, 55 recipes for ice pop, shave ice, and boozy pops from Brooklyn's coolest pop shop. And I think that makes it the adult popsicle, would you say?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we try very hard to come up with flavors that we would want to eat ourselves because they're interesting and delicious, but that also would appeal to children as well. I mean, ice pops have such a nostalgic element to them because even adults remember as children that wonderful summer memory of even if it's something as simple as just freezing orange juice in an ice cube tray or in a Dixie cup or something.
I love doing that.
Yeah, we all grew up with that. And so, you know, what we do is kind of an updated take on that, but we want to keep it fun and appeal to people of all ages.
And also use really local ingredients. So I don't see orange juice in here.
No,
in your pops too
no,
much.
We yeah. don't use orange juice. We just use fruit that grows locally. We started out doing all of our shopping at the Green Market. Now that we are buying in larger quantities, we have the fruit delivered directly to our production facility in Brooklyn. But we're still using, 100% local fruit.
Like the peach and jalapeno popsicles that were out and about last weekend. Man, those had quite a kick.
Quite a kick to them,
yeah.
That's right.
After you've slurped down the first bite, you're like, wow, that was so peachy and fresh and delicious. And you're like,
ouch.
Pow. Yeah. Yeah, there's an amazing Mexican tradition of paletas that are often spicy. You see that in India as well, or salty. We don't delve into that too much because of the fruits that are available to us. You know, Mexican paletas might be made with mango or papaya or tamarind or...
And what's the spicy element in there?
Oh, like jalapeno. Chili. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or peppers, gotcha. Things like that. Yeah. So because, since we're only using local fruit, we deal with more temperate fruits like peaches and plums and apricots and strawberries and things like that. So it's pretty rare that we go salty or spicy, but occasionally we do, like with the peach jalapeno.
Mm-hmm. And I love how each popsicle is really chunky. Like, you get those chunks of actual fruit in there. You get bits of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys use herbs in like a lot of things too.
Quite a few. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that started when just, you know, looking for inspiration at the green market and, you know, walking through the green market and seeing chamomile or mint or tarragon and thinking, like, would this go well with watermelon or rhubarb or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely fun. It's kind of like making a cocktail.
Yeah, we get a lot of our inspiration from, you know, fancy cocktails around town. Shiso, plum and shiso is a combination we first saw in a cocktail. And then also from desserts at good restaurants around town as well. We'll see, you know, people pairing fruits with a certain herb and think, you know, because in the summer we basically eat, sleep, and breathe ice pops. So we're just always thinking of ways that we can apply different flavor combinations.
You don't
to
even
the
need
pops.
An air conditioner. You just have a room full of ice pops.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Welcome to my life.
That sounds great. So why popsicles? So, whose idea was it? Was it yours?
Well, the idea started with my friend Robert LaValva, who founded the New Amsterdam Market back in 2008 when he was trying to get it going. He would occasionally put on a one-day market to sort of publicize how the market might be if it became a regular thing. It is now a regular thing on Sundays at the South Street Seaport. And I had worked in, you know, restaurants, waitress and things like that around New York. I knew Robert, and he offered me a stand at one of these markets that he was putting on, and I thought it sounded fun. He just said, yeah, I'll give you a stand, just sell whatever, use local ingredients. And so I got together with Dave, who is my high school prom date, and is now my business partner. We've known each other since we were about 10 years old. And Joel, my other business partner, who at the time was Dave's first Craigslist roommate in New York City, and a couple of other friends. We used the kitchen of a restaurant that I had worked at that had just closed. It was the tasting room. And the chef still had the kitchen, even though the restaurant wasn't operating anymore. So we bought a bunch of fruit at the green market, on the first day. We made a couple hundred pops in the kitchen of the basement kitchen of the tasting room on the next day. And we showed up to the New Amsterdam market on the third day. And they sold in like 2 seconds. People mm-hmm. freaked out. They loved it. And so we were thrilled. And that was right around the time when the Brooklyn Flea was starting up. You know, I guess Dave and Joel saw a flyer for it or something like that. And so they showed up a couple times, and it just kind of had this traction. It just kept developing. People would come back. They loved them. And so over that winter, we decided to incorporate as a business. We formed an LLC. We found a kitchen we could rent by the hour. And the following summer, we did it pretty regularly, every Saturday, every Sunday. We still had other jobs, of course, and just got serious about it. And then in 2010, we quit our jobs and just mm-hmm. went full time with it. And we just celebrated our fourth birthday. This is our fifth season now. So we have those four stores. We do quite a lot of catering, wholesale, things like that. Markets. We still go to the Brooklyn Flea every weekend and the New Amsterdam Market every weekend.
Congratulations. That's an amazing story. And meanwhile, like 4 years later, this is like the de facto way to start a food business, it seems, in Brooklyn, is to moonlight in some restaurant, have a cool idea, and sell it on the street or some fair or some sort.
Well, the market is the ultimate judge, right? That's how you know whether your product is going to sink or float, is do people like it? Do they want it? Do they come back for it? Do they want more?
And is it unique? Is it something you can't get? Because frozen ice pops, I'm having flashbacks to those neon things that you squirt out of a tube that are not good at all. They taste actually like gasoline. They taste something is wrong. Terribly wrong in those things, and they're neon. And, you know, kids just want something cold and icy and fruity. But this is, you know, 10 times better, and adults can appreciate.
Well, that was, you know, back to the genesis of the original idea. We just thought everybody loves ice pops. They're just these super refreshing, summery things that you can, I mean, if you're hot, you want one, you know, it'll mm-hmm. totally refresh you. So we just figured if you pumped it full of fruit instead of high fructose corn syrup and colorings and gums and stabilizers, it had to be good. You know, we didn't even consider that it might not be. And they are. I mean, honestly, if you're using high quality fruit, you just cannot go wrong. It's going to end up delicious.
And, you know, we have a lot of great ice creams in this town, but this is definitely... How many calories are in one year? Do you know that?
Mm. You know, it's funny. We just started selling wholesale pops in 3 flavors in these beautiful boxes we just got designed. I'll show you a picture later.
Are they going to be in stores? Like
they
in
are.
The freezer
yeah,
section?
They just started being in stores.
Wow.
You can get them at 6 branches of Organic Avenue. You can get them at a couple of different Whole Foods around town. You can get them at... let's see. You can get them at the Museum of Sex in Midtown,
what?
Oddly. yeah, I mean, the full list is on our website. But so we got nutritional analysis done on the 3 flavors that we chose for wholesale, which are strawberry rhubarb, raspberry basil, and Concord grape. And they range in calories from 80 to 110.
That's it. That's awesome.
I mean, the only thing in these pops is locally grown fruit, organic cane sugar, water, and like maybe an herb, like in the case of raspberry basil or watermelon mint or whatever. That's
it. Must not be that much sugar, too. It's just sweet fruit.
Yeah, we just, I mean, the amount of sugar depends on the natural sweetness of the fruit.
Yeah.
So we just make a simple syrup. We might infuse that simple syrup with an herb, like in the case of the raspberry basil. But in the case of, for example, strawberry rhubarb, it's just plain simple syrup, and we just adjust it to taste. We don't even really follow recipes because every batch of fruit is different. It has a different level of sweetness. So
Now we can follow your recipes with this nice, beautiful cookbook. Just came out. 10 Speed Press. Do check it out. And why people's pops? Like, the pops of the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're made by people, for people. We liked the vaguely revolutionary tinge of just, like, taking back an industrial food product and doing it right. And it was just the first thing we came up with, you know. I came up with it in a bar with a friend of mine. And it stuck. We actually were initially called ourselves the People's Popsicle, but then we found out through a cease and desist letter from Unilever that they actually own the word popsicle.
What?
So yeah, we changed everything to People's Pops, and so now instead of calling what we do popsicles, we use the generic term, which is ice pops.
Ice pops.
Yeah,
that's okay to use.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Yeah. What about Fudgesicle? They must own that one, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. But we don't really use chocolate, so...
I don't like Fudgesicles anyway.
Yeah, they're chewy, huh?
They're just icy and weird. So what is your favorite popsicle flavor that you guys have ever made? Maybe to make or going to release soon? Have in the works?
Well, I just saw Joel in the kitchen this morning with a bunch of lavender, which make delicious. I don't know. I mean, it's easy to go overboard with lavender. You got to be careful, or else it ends up tasting like potpourri. But apricot lavender is a flavor I really love that just kind of screams summer to me.
That sounds good.
Yeah. The recipe for that pop is in the book. Plum yogurt and tarragon, I love. Raspberry basil is just a classic. It's a bizarre combination. But people really clamor for it, and it's wonderful. Those acidic fruits like raspberry and blackberry make for really balanced pops. Because keep in mind that when you freeze something, it sort of alters the flavor.
Yeah.
So, I like those really bold fruits. What's that?
It mutes it too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So I mean, there seems like nothing you haven't tried that's in season locally at some point in the year in this area. There's cucumber and violet. Crazy.
Yeah, the cucumber, elderflower, and tequila one is a personal favorite of mine. That's super, super refreshing.
Fig jam and yogurt, that sounds yummy. How do you get the... You get fig jam. Purchased or homemade, I see.
Yeah, you know, figs are one of those fruits that do grow in this area but are not readily available, so we haven't used them very much.
I see them growing on trees.
Yeah, but you do see them at the green market, but for like... $10 a pint or something like that. Yeah. So we have very limited experience with figs. Although, you know, sometimes I just think about moving to California, if just for the figs.
Yeah. And corn. I see corn in one of your recipes as well.
Yeah, well, you know, corn has an intrinsic sweetness that kind of lends it well to desserts. You know, you've probably had corn ice cream and things like that. So we do a couple things with corn. We might combine it with cream for something that kind of resembles corn ice cream. Or we've done corn and blackberries. Another savory pop we've done that involves vegetables is sort of like a Bloody Mary pop or a gazpacho pop. But for the most part, we definitely stick to sweet fruit pops. Those are that's my favorite, so that's what I like to make.
Sounds pretty hard to beat anyway.
Thanks.
What's the biggest seller right now that you got?
Right now, blueberry and yellow peach was very popular this weekend. Raspberry and rose water is another one, a sleeper hit that I really like. Raspberry basil, always a solid. Strawberry rhubarb as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we one of the things we really like to do is mix it up with flavors that are pretty plain and simple, but just straightforward, like a straight up strawberry, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then go exotic as well. We try to have kind of a mix of things on the board. For example, you know, we sell a lot of our pops on the Highline, which of which the people are a huge percent of them are foreigners, you know, tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really like the idea of introducing people to new flavors. You know, we kind of joke about having introduced, you know, like a gazillion New York children to rhubarb because, aww, you know, a lot of people don't know what rhubarb is, but it's a fruit we love and use a lot. Actually, it's a vegetable,
stock,
I guess, when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. It's right now is such a great time to make these popsicles too at the green markets. There's like blueberries and now there's peach and all these things. So you should, guys out there should definitely grab one of these books and go crazy with it. And
it's really easy. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. You get your fruit. Some fruit needs to be cooked. Some fruit doesn't need to be cooked. Like for example, rhubarb does need to be cooked, but raspberries you don't have to cook.
Mm-hmm.
You just puree it. We like to leave the chunks in. Raspberries we would leave the seeds in, even though you could strain them out. Peaches, we would leave the skins in, you know, pureed, but you could, I guess, strain those out as well. And then just sweeten it with a simple syrup, either infused or plain. Just mix it till it tastes right. Pour it into your molds. Pop a stick in it. Freeze it. Unmold it. And you're done.
It's that simple, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Very cool. Let's cut to a quick little musical interlude, and we'll be back chatting with Natalie Jordan, Jordy of People's Pops.
Ranch grass-fed beef,
pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
All right, we're back with Let's Eat In. Today's guest is Natalie Jordy of People's Pops. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and that was a lovely little jingle. What about a popsicle jingle? I can see this being really fun.
It should. You don't want to hear me sing, though.
I'm sure it's not that bad. So, changing the topic a little bit. I know you are engaged to be married soon.
That's right, December.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I asked everyone on the show this question, but what would be the ultimate date meal for you in the world?
Wow. Well, my fiance is a really good cook, so ideally I would get to sit back with the cocktail and he would do all the work.
Okay.
I have a lot of good things to say about his vinaigrettes. We don't eat, you know, I spent a lot of the year in New Orleans. We don't eat that many fresh salads down there, which is partially, there's lots of good fresh salads down there. I just happen to like the butter and cream covered stuff. So maybe a nice salad and some boiled crabs and some delicious and very strong cocktails and definitely something sweet. Maybe even a popsicle.
Maybe a popsicle to finish it off. That sounds like a good one. So boiled crabs.
Sure.
Just like a big crab boil style.
Yeah. Down there, they salt the pot and they spice the water. I don't even know what's in there. Cajun spices, I guess. And boil the blue crabs. You just spread out a piece of newspaper and crush
and you crack it
up.
Together.
Mm-hmm. It's really
That's
good.
That's fun. It sounds like you've had experience with this too.
Oh my God. I love crabs. Absolutely.
That sounds like a good one. I miss those.
What's your answer to that question?
Oh, it's always changing. I don't know. I really don't know. I couldn't tell you right now. Okay. Maybe one day I'll come up with it. But a lot of people have like just really homey comfort food favorites, simple food like mm-hmm. spaghetti and stuff like that. So I don't really know what exactly mine would be, but sort of along those lines, probably noodle soups, probably. Mm-hmm. Anyway, crab. Popsicle doesn't sound like a good idea, but to finish it off with.
No, we haven't gone down that route yet.
Although the spicy seasoning is something to think about, actually.
Yeah, sure.
I want to try something mm-hmm. like that. So you're a sort of a half Brooklyn, New Orleans expat right now.
Bayou coastal is what I call it.
Are you looking to bring People's Pops elsewhere than New York?
You know, we've definitely thought about that. We may do it someday, but at the moment, we think there's a lot of room to grow in New York. And frankly, it's so much work to just keep up with that mm-hmm. we're focused on that right now.
Yeah, and you still produce out of Brooklyn. Where's your facility?
Well, you know, we just moved into the Pfizer building, which you may have heard about. It's the old Pfizer pharmaceutical factory that's been there for like 150 years. And Pfizer moved out in 2009. And some local developers bought the building and are turning it into a mixed-use space. So, like, on one floor, there's police training, and on another floor, they're building sets for movies. But there's actually quite a few artisan food production people in there as well. We're in there with Brooklyn Soda Works, Brooklyn Kombucha, One Lucky Duck, Downtown Cookies, Steve's Ice Cream. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of people, but it's pretty cool. You know, it's a huge building with loading docks and freight elevators. And so it's great for us to finally have our own space where we can stretch out. We built it out in the spring with walk-in freezers and
That's
packaging machines, stuff like that.
Did you have to build it in the kitchen? Or
Okay. Yeah, we kind of had to start from scratch, but, we've got a 5-year lease. We're really happy to be there. And, yeah,
sounds like
great.
A fun community, and
absolutely.
It's close to.
Absolutely.
Well, it's in Williamsburg, so
right. It's in South Williamsburg, and we've gotten a lot out of just sharing ideas, and you know, potentially someday down the line, we might even be able to share distribution or things like that.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know, popsicles. They require expensive and energy demanding refrigeration to ship elsewhere. But once they're frozen, they totally are fine. They can't.
Yeah, I mean, over time, especially since we don't use any preservatives, you do.
Okay.
We don't use any preservatives.
I mean,
but so you can see like a little bit of freezer burn. So that's where packaging, you know, in an airtight package is important. We talk about that in the book. You know, make sure to put them in a Ziploc or whatever, because the moisture in the pops will tend to migrate outwards and form these little ice crystals. But it takes a while for that to happen. They do. They do tend to. You know, freezing is one of the best ways of preserving fruit, right? So if you preserve it in a pop, it has a pretty long shelf life.
I kind of like those ice crystals, though.
Oh, well, there you go.
Whenever I have like a bunch of strawberries, I'll freeze them. And then a few months later, I won't even know what I'm looking at. It's just like this ice sculpture. but, it does the trick, which is very necessary. So would you consider freezing or making these pops also a way of preserving?
Like, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, one of our rationales is that, you know, one of the ways we think we can help the local farmers is not only by, you know, providing a market for their, like, a value-added product, you know, made out of their fruit, but also, you know, when fruit comes, it's like a wave. At first, there's nothing, and then there's this huge upward swing, and then you have tons and tons and tons, and then it drops off, right? That's the essence of a fruit season. And so what we do is we take that fruit at the peak of the season and preserve it so that it doesn't have to be composted or rots. You know, when we can, we buy seconds, which is fruit that's maybe spent one day at the green market.
That's great.
So it might like not look as perfect as the stuff that people would want to buy and serve on top of a tart, but it still tastes delicious. It's super ripe, and we're going to puree it anyway.
So that's a great way to use those.
Absolutely.
At the market. You know,
and we recommend that if people want to go shopping at the farmer's market for fruit, ask the farmer if they have any seconds. You know, oftentimes they'll give it to you at a lower price. And
I think that just maybe a few weeks ago happened with strawberries too, because I was walking by Union Square on a Saturday at like 5, and someone literally like almost like paid me to take these strawberries off their hand. Like me and my friend, he's like, "Here, two of you," and he gave us like 4 pints.
Wow, that's cool.
Of them,
yeah.
I was like, okay,
yeah, it's great.
And I made pies with them, and they were awesome.
It's perfect, right? Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where we're in kind of in the same category as canning or jamming or something, in that we're taking fruit and just preserving it for the long haul.
I think it's brilliant, and I think it's a great way to help out that bumper crop. So what are we going to see a lot of next from People's Pops? Like any flavors or fruits that, I know peaches just arrived.
Yeah, and one thing I'm really excited about is the advent of melons, because melons are not a fruit that we freeze. Sometimes, you know, because we start our season early, like in April or May, we're selling to the public before fruit has arrived. And so in those cases, we use fruit that we've frozen from the season before, and we start out using frozen fruit. But melons are not, we can't do that with melons. And so it's always really special for me when we make that first batch of of like cantaloupe and tarragon or watermelon mint or you know, honeydew pop or something like that. So I guess that'll probably come online around August.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those aren't cooked either. Those are just straight up pureed. Fresh and
absolutely. They're super refreshing. They're kind of icy because of the water content in those pops. You know, in those fruits is naturally higher. But it's just perfect when you're sweating your butt off. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing like a watermelon pop.
That sounds perfect to me. So are you guys, you know, touring or anything for this book, or basically touring in the millions of locations that you are? And
no, we're not touring. We're just up to our necks in ice pops. The book was a really fun project, and we've gotten lots of emails from people who are making pops at home who have questions. I actually got one email a couple days ago from a person who was like, "Hey, can I put your mixture in my Cuisinart like ice cream maker and make sorbet?" And I was like, you know, I have no idea. I've never done that before, but give it a shot. Let us know how it goes. And she wrote back and said it was absolutely delicious. So, you know, we're totally learning things. But so, yeah, no book tour. We're just here focused on making as many pops as we can. This is the absolute height of our season. And we have a short season, you know. I mean, we're only around when, I mean, I think wholesale is going to go all year round. But locations like the High Line and Chelsea Market and the East Village, we're just there when it's hot. which is now. Right. So we're just focused on that right now.
Well, thanks for taking off from one of your many posts to be here today.
It's a pleasure.
I know you must be like on call, like whenever somebody can't make it for some reason.
Well, we have a great crew this year. I don't know where we find them, but they just come out of the woodwork and they've got such good attitudes. It's a tough job. It's hot out there.
There's
shaving ice.
Lines.
There's the long lines. And we got a great crew. They're always super friendly, excited. They love the product. We always have them come in and make pops with us at least a couple times.
Cool.
So that they understand what goes into it. And yeah, they're great.
It's way better than slaving over a hot grill. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. Keeping those pops cold actually generates a lot of heat. And, you know, we are cooking fruit a lot of the time.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we spend a fair amount of time sweating in the kitchen, too.
Oh, gotcha.
We take breaks in the freezer to cool down.
I'm still thinking it's like an air conditioner built in with popsicles in your home. But.
Oh, man, I wish.
Well, I can't wait to try all the new flavors coming out. There's always so surprising, and it's just so refreshing, and it's only 80 calories. I can't believe that. So thank you so much, Natalie. This has been really fun. Check out People's Pops, the cookbook, just out from 10 Speed Press, and check them out today at one of their stands.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be open July 4th on all locations in Chelsea Market, the Highline, Park Slope, and the East Village. And also look for the new wholesale boxes in stores and bodegas all around town.
For your barbecue. Cool.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks, Natalie, and thanks everyone at Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Stay cool.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.